Heavenly Father, this morning as we sing and we worship, and Lord Jesus, I just pray as we approach the new year, and Lord God, as we reflect on 2017 today, and Lord Jesus, for many of us, this has maybe been an unbelievable year. Maybe for some of us, this has been the most difficult year. But Lord Jesus, I pray that we would still see that you are good, that you are alive, and that you're active. And Lord Jesus, we pray as we move into 2018 that you would continue to move within the hearts and lives of people here. And Lord, even in a world that seems to be always changing in a sort of chaos, Lord God, I just ask that you would continue to reign, that you would continue to show your glory to your people. And Lord, we pray that more people would come into relationship with you, that through 2018, Lord, that more people would be drawn to you, that as we celebrated, you are the light at Christmas. And Lord, I just pray that more and more people would see the light of who you are, Jesus. And so, Lord God, I thank you for today. Lord, we pray for our time as we're going to spend some time talking today about what you have done, Lord, in the lives of people in 2017. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray these things in your great name. Amen. Well, please be seated. Good morning. My name is Heath. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And it's usually at this point that I preach, but we're not doing that today. We are doing something really different, and I'm super excited. We are going to have a whole family up here share some pretty wild news of what the Lord has done in their life. And so I'm going to invite up the Lisek family if they want to make their way up. Harlan and Marianne and their children, who are not children, their children, they're all adults, Matt and Katie, and they're going to come up, and you guys can either come around that way or on the stairs there. And we are going to just talk a little bit, and Marianne's going to share what the Lord has done, and some of you are family and friends, so I figured Mom and Dad could take the couch, and if you want to take that one, Matt. Sure. And then Katie was around, but she'll come. She's a new mom, so she's probably busy, but we'll kind of get started. Alrighty. No, that's fine. No worry. No rush. You're here. Wonderful. I'll give you this one, Matt. I'll give you guys one to hold. Just go around you, Katie. There. You guys, can you share?
Yeah.
We'll be okay. That's good to know. And then Katie gets her own. Wonderful.
Thank you.
How long have you guys been at New Life? 3, 4 years now?
4 years.
I think four?
Probably 4 years, yeah.
One of the things that we got talking about even as we were looking at all of this is, as New Life continues to grow and change and people add and people move in and move out, we're always think of ways that we can grow together as a family and share in what the Lord is doing. And so that's kind of what we wanted to do this morning was to hear. There's a wonderful story here, and for each family member to kind of inject what they learned and saw through it. And this is kind of what I do. If you wonder what it is I do, I spend time with families and we sit and we talk and see what the Lord has done. And so you're kind of just joining us in on that today, and just to see what the Lord has done through your guys' family and the changes and all of that. And so I'm going to ask Marianne to just kind of kick us off. Marianne has an amazing story that you want to share, and we'll go from there. You guys talk. I listen.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being here today. On August 18th of 2016, I went to visit my sister in Courtney, B.C., I got a really sharp pain in my right side, in my lower back. And my sister took me to emergency there. And I was told that I had a lung infection and possible pneumonia. That wasn't anything new to me because I've had pneumonia so often that I just thought, oh, yeah, this is probably just a different type. And it felt different, but I really didn't think much of it until I got home and started back to work at the public school division here in Lloyd. I got up in the night around September the 2nd, that night, and coughed up quite a bit of blood. My husband and I kind of thought, well, maybe this is just clearing the pneumonia out of your lungs. Like, we didn't really know why that happened. And I went for a follow-up appointment with my doctor here in Lloydminster, and she said to me that she wanted to send me right away for a CAT scan. She was really concerned that I coughed up blood, and I went back to work waiting for my appointment to have a CAT scan, and while at work one day I just coughed, and the same thing happened. And I went and talked to my administration, and they sent me right home that day, and my journey began. I went to see my doctor immediately after that, and she sent me for x-rays and then blood work. My doctor wanted a bronchoscopy done immediately, and I was put on medical leave from work, and my health deteriorated really quickly. I was sore and I was tired all the time. I had no energy for life. I didn't have an appetite. I just had no strength. My whole brain and thoughts and my mind was just fear. I've never felt fear like that I felt during those times, because it was just fear of the unknown. I'd never experienced anything like this before, waiting and thinking for these appointments and living inside my head, you know, all the scenarios of, like, why would I cough up blood? What does that mean? Like, does that mean, like, I'm going to die, or, you know, what is going on? And so I began to be prompted by God to be woken up every night about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It was just like clockwork. Every single night I would wake up, and I was wide awake like it was morning, and I would just go out and sit and read God's word. And I know now that I was clearly being guided by God to make sense of what didn't make sense at the time. And it felt like I was in the wilderness, and I was by myself, and I needed direction. So I'd sit and I'd read what God's word was saying, and that one of the first things he said to me is from Isaiah 44, and he said, "But for now, dear servant Marianne, listen. Yes, you are my personal choice." And I was thinking, wow, for what? And he said, "The God who made you has something to say to you. The God who formed you in the womb is here to help you, so do not be afraid. I'm first, I'm last, I'm the only God there is. Who compares with me? Don't be afraid and don't worry." I wrote that down, and I went back to bed, and I slept. When daylight hit, that reality was a little harder to live out. It was easy to hear that during the night, and it put me back to sleep. But the next day, waking up and living with the pain in my body and the fear in my mind, it just consumed me all over again. I was in to see my doctor every day, if not every second day, with questions or pain issues. And I saw the concern and the urgency in her voice. And when I walked into the doctor's office, she cleared all her patients just to see me, because she knew that it was, and I knew that it was something more serious than we both were thinking. Then I, you know, of course, my mind was racing to terminal illness and dying and everything. September 20th, I woke up and read, "Blessed when I'm at the end of my rope." Are you kidding, God? Blessed? Not me. I'm not blessed. This isn't a blessing. Doesn't feel like a blessing. He said, "Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen to you. Tomorrow, God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." At those times, I battled a fear that I've never known, and God used Harland and his calming and physical presence. He would say to me every night, "We're going to be okay," over and over until I could fall asleep. And he was my rock, and God put this guy beside me so that he could be my safe place to fall when I felt like I was falling. I spent every day becoming sicker and sicker. My body felt old and tired, and I was very, very weak. My spirit is completely worn out. Each night as I laid my head down, my stomach would go into knots, and my mind would again play every scenario over and over again. Harlan would reassure me, talk to my racing thoughts, and calm me down so I could shut my eyes and sleep. And every night I'd wake up at 2:30 with words from God. My scan comes back September the 20th with finding of a soft tissue mass and a lymph node affected to the right of the mass in my lung. The findings are suspicious of carcinoma. Carcinoma? I know what carcinoma is. That's cancer. No, not me. That's carcinoma. That's cancer. So I'm sent immediately for a PET scan on October the 6th at the Cross Cancer Institute in Edmonton. And I have a bronchoscopy first. And now I'm deteriorating faster. I'm nauseous all the time. I begin vomiting. And I'm on very strong painkillers. My sister comes in to care for me. And she holds me as I'm crying, reads to me the most wonderful promises of God and his amazing power and strength, and walks me into each new day because I felt like I couldn't be alone. I didn't want to be alone because I felt like I was losing control of my health and my body. The ache in my side is now constant, and I have no appetite. I have a reaction to the medications that I'm on, and I begin hallucinating. They gave me tramadol and oxycodone, however you say it, at the same time. And it adds to the fear that I already had because I started hallucinating. And I feel like I'm totally losing control, and I'm saying, God, where are you? Like, where are you in this? You're telling me that I'm blessed. How is this your will for me? Carcinoma? So I see my doctor, and she changes my medication, and I sleep a full day. I wake up at 12:30 a.m., and God is prompting me again to come sit with him. I go out in my living room. I open up my Bible, and I read, "You shot high into the sky, and then the bottom dropped out. Your hearts were stuck in your throats. You were spun like a top, and you reeled just like a drunk. You didn't know which end was up. And then you called out to God in your desperate condition. He got you out in the nick of time. He quieted the wind down to a whisper and put a muzzle on the big waves. You were so glad when the storm died down, and he led you safely back to harbor. I began to see again through his word that God's words were walking me through this valley of the shadow of death. He was truly in this valley with me. This was a battle, and he was right beside me. I began to see that maybe I could walk through this valley and not stay stuck in it. From that day forward, my mornings, every morning, God placed a praise song in my head before my eyes even opened in my bedroom. I would just wake up to sing to a praise song in my mind. He was filling up every fear, every doubt, every concern I had with his word and his promises and his light. September the 22nd, the word was, he carried our diseases. Your cleansed and grateful life, not your words, will bear witness to what I have done. Seriously, God, you're going to come to take this from me? That's not possible. It's carcinoma. I'm not like those people back in the day. In your word that I'm reading about, this is now, and it's me. Jesus said to me, I will come and I will heal them. So what are you saying? You're going to heal me? You're going to restore me? What? That doesn't even make sense. He said, the sickness is not fatal. It will become your occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. As I read, as Jesus spoke to Lazarus, he said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? What exactly are you saying to me, God? I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God will not fall asleep. Not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze. He never sleeps. God is my guardian, right at my side. He guards my very life. I'm hearing that you're right beside me, God. When I go to these appointments, you are right there guarding my life. The day I get a call from Edmonton for the date of my PET scan, I wake up with this verse in my head. This is the day my power is greater than your fear. I have the PET scan, and I wait, and it seems like an eternity. Harlan and I drive into Edmonton for the follow-up appointment with the thoracic surgeon, Dr. Lang, on October the 12th. He gently explains the 3D PET scan images that he has up on the wall, and they were huge. They were as big as long as this couch, two screens. And in the conversation that follows, he tells me, yes, you have lung cancer. I completely lose my breath. And I squeeze Harlan's hand as he continues to go on with medical jargon that I don't understand. And he's pointing at the screen and saying, and this is the areas that are affected. And you see when these bright colors are here, that means that there's cancer. And you have cancer in your lung, in your right lung. He tells me the size of my tumor and the lymph node that was affected. I only ask one question. Did you just say that I have lung cancer? Am I hearing you correctly? He said, yes, you have stage 2 lung cancer. He says it very firmly. I go numb. I cannot speak. I can't feel my legs. And I feel like I'm going to pass out. I feel like my heart is stopping. He talks of a bronchoscopy, a biopsy, to determine how aggressive my cancer is and to see what other areas may be affected inside of my lung. Harlan asks a few more questions. I don't hear anything but white noise, and our appointment is over. We walk out of the building like we're in a dream, and I am in complete shock. This morning, I woke up sick, and now I'm told I have lung cancer. How can my life change in a 15-minute conversation, God? I call my kids and have the toughest conversation I've ever had with them. I feel like I'm living somebody else's life. I call my own family members and I begin to ask for prayer. We drive home in a different reality. Our lives are drastically changed. It's cancer. I take every opportunity I see in any person I run into. Please pray. Please pray for me. I'm not shy and I'm not scared to ask. Please just pray. I've got bad news and I need you to pray. Every opportunity I had, I asked people. I hear the same words from people over and over again. In my church, outside of my church, in the mall, in stores, they keep saying, God's got this. God's got this. And it's like they've all had conversations behind my back and came up with the same response. I hear the next morning, if God's got this, then he has it, 2 Peter 1:3. My faith is not dependent on what I see on this earth. She continues to say, which is Joyce Meyer, which I listen to, in God's economy, faith always leads and feelings always follow. I don't need to listen to what I feel, what I think. I need to confess God's word out loud. So I begin drowning out my thoughts with praise songs. Bronchoscopy and biopsy, October the 31st. The results are that my cancer is contained within my tumor and no longer in my lymph node. No cancer outside or inside of my lung. This is great news, and my kids are super excited. Harlan can't believe it and plans a trip to Edmonton to celebrate. My cancer is localized and no longer considered stage 2. I know this is God. I begin to see hope in this insanity. You, God, are at work inside of my lung. You, God, are doing this. I begin to slowly rely on him and his promises. I begin to write messages on the mirrors in my house. I will live. Jesus is here. My daughter makes up verses for every wall and every cupboard to give me hope in my house. I see positive, life-giving messages everywhere I look in my home to focus on life and not death. My son buys every healthy food imaginable, and we begin juicing like it's our job. It's crazy. And I feel stronger and stronger, and my doctor prescribes anxiety and sleeping pills because I can't hold food down anymore. I'm hanging on to God's word like it's the only food I need. And my daily routine is loud praise music to shut out my mind and only listen to what God has to say. For I am your very own God who stirs up the sea and whips up the waves. Pay attention. Come close now, Marianne. Listen carefully to my life-giving, nourishing words, for my people will live as long as trees. This is now a battle, God. My friend Diane comes in and spends time with me. Others come and just listen and love me for where I'm at, praying. For what was unheard of, they will see with their own eyes. What was unthinkable, they'll have right before them. My sister returns to come in and care for me. Her presence brings a sense of calm as she feeds me soup and carries me in days that seem long and impossible. People come in every day with food or cards or prayer, and I see God with skin on all around me. All my needs are taken care of, even before I could ask. I am scheduled for lung surgery November the 29th, 2016. To remove the tumor, I am counting the days till this thing is out of my body. I cannot live with this constant pain anymore. I call and tell everyone I know to just pray, pray, pray. My surgery is 3 hours long in Edmonton, and immediately following my surgery, Harlan gets a call in the hospital waiting room from Dr. Lang telling him that the tumor was removed successfully. The surgery went exactly as planned. His first report was that the tumor had shrunk. He was surprised. He doesn't know how that happened. And then he reported that they took the tumor immediately to the pathologists for testing, and there was no cancer. There was no cancer. Praise God. Like, how does that happen? Harlan was really polite to the doctor, and he heard what he said, but he had to call him back. He's like, he thought he was hearing things. When the doctor came to talk to me, I couldn't believe what he said either. The doctor looked as surprised as me, and he said he'd never heard of this before. When I had the follow-up with my local doctor here in Lloydminster, the first thing she asked me is, Marianne, do you believe in God? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, she knows that this was a miracle because she has never seen this in all the years that she's been a medical doctor. She continued to say that PET scans do not lie. Biopsies do not lie. Dr. Lang has never made a mistake in a diagnosis of a lung cancer patient. She said that I had every result test as positive for lung cancer. She began to cry in her doctor's office, and so did I. This is truly a miracle, she said. No man can take credit for this. This is something that only God can do, and I give him all the glory.
Thanks for sharing, Marianne, the story. And part of the reason we have the family is because many of you have walked through some of this or have had family members walk through it, and it never is just one person. It often affects the immediate family, the extended family, and I know some of you here are extended family of theirs today, and I'm glad you're here. And so we thought we'd just hear from each of you kind of just what you may have experienced through this whole thing and maybe something the Lord has taught you. And if it's like, I don't know, I'm still on the journey, then that's great. There's no right answer or wrong answer, you know, and just to experience kind of what you walked through. So you want to go, Harlan, or you want Katie to go? You want her to go?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Mom talked about how everyone that we encountered, we... we asked everybody to pray, and we would ask people who don't pray to pray. And I think, like, when you say, what did it teach me? I'm still trying to learn. I'm still trying to learn everything I need to learn from this experience, because it was so obviously so emotional and so draining in so many ways to see my mom go through that and for our family to go through that. But something I'm now understanding from asking people to pray and sharing what our family was going through each step of the way, like a lot of you were in a Facebook group that I created for my mom to share what was the updates and the prayer requests, and I guess I had never been that bold before to talk about my faith to to ask people to join our family in prayer. And then it was really, honestly, very challenging for me to accept that God had done a miracle in our lives, because I felt that people's reaction would be, but I have someone in my life who has had cancer and God didn't do a miracle for them. So why did God do that for you? So that kept me from sharing this miracle with people. And even over the past year that we've been, since Mom's been healthy, I've been hesitant to talk about it. So it's really cool that Pastor Heath asked us to come up here and share this, because it's challenged me to kind of step back into that boldness that I had when Mom was sick and saying, pray for us. Like, this is what's happening. We need you to pray. I don't care if you're not comfortable praying, just do it. And I had boldness in that time when things were so desperate. But then once Mom was healed and had the miracle, it was very hard for me to carry forward in that boldness and continue to say to people, listen, you prayed and it worked. And God is a God of miracles. And he healed my mom. And I've had a very hard time saying those things over the past year. And I think moving forward, what I hear God trying to teach me, if I really sit still and listen, is don't be ashamed and don't be embarrassed and don't hold back in sharing this story with people, because people need to hear that God is willing and capable to do things like this. And he is amazing and powerful. And if we didn't have him, we never would have made it through this. So
thanks, Kate. Yeah. Matt or Harlan, someone want to share?
Yeah, sure, I'll share.
This is on. Yeah, you're good.
For me, I guess I'd handle emotions a little bit different than some people in my family. I think, I cry when I'm alone.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So I guess when I first kind of found out, and when Mom called me, and I knew about the pneumonia, and, you know, I knew she was a little bit worried, but right to the end, I always, until we know for sure, I like to stay, you know, optimistic, I guess. So I tried to stay positive, and I think when you phoned me and told me that it was diagnosed as lung cancer, it's almost like you default to a level of denial. You're like, no, like, tell me more. Like, give me the details. Like, I want to see the medical notes kind of thing. So I think I tried to, throughout this, be someone that would stay optimistic, and that my mom could come to for support and for hope, I guess. I think one of the amazing things I learned throughout this is just like how something like this can really bring your family together, and like extended family and our family and everything, because it forces you through this emotional turmoil. And I think we definitely became closer through this, which is awesome. But my immediate instinct was just to fix, how can I fix this? That's why when, you know, you said I went out and bought all this health stuff, I pretty much went on Google and looked up every possible thing that was associated with preventing cancer, killing cancer cells, everything, and just brought a pile of stuff on the counter. I'm like, you're making smoothies every day.
Yeah.
It was definitely a try and experience. God is good. I can't deny it's a miracle. It's insane. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, when I do talk about it, and it almost feels like a dream, because it happened. This is like this 1 year period that's just like, we went through like everything in that 1 year, and then all of a sudden it's like, what? You don't have cancer anymore? And I think sometimes I almost try to forget about that year, because it was so crazy. But you know, when people, you know, when cancer does come up and stuff, I always say I tell the story, and you know, I did the research and I looked all this stuff up, and it's cool to be able to tell people who aren't Christians that, like, undoubtedly, even the doctors, this was a miracle. So yeah,
cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah, my fixer son. He's the fixer, and he approaches things very logically. And I come from a long line of the Lessig clan. My clan is a clan of skeptics. We're skeptic. I'm the only Christian in our family. I got four siblings and a mom and dad, and nobody in my family knows the Lord besides me from a personal relationship. And so it was easy for me to be skeptical about so many things along this journey. And I remember thinking that the M word, miracle, gets tossed around a lot in Christian circles. And I went, okay, here's another miracle. Yep, okay, here we go. And as time went on, I realized after listening to that doctor, that phone call that came to me after the surgery was done, and he told me that when the sample that they took out was non-cancerous, I hung up the phone, I walked out into the foyer, and I said a prayer to God, and I thanked him. And then my skepticism hit again. And I phoned him back. I phoned the doctor back, and his secretary answered the phone. Well, he's off. He's busy right now. I said, you got to get him on the phone. I got to talk to him again. So she found Dr. Lang, and Dr. Lang came and reassured me that this, in fact, was the case. And it was just an amazing experience. I had seen miracles happen in friends of mine here in Lloydminster. Another really good friend of mine was not given more than 3 months to live with cancer, and he survived, and he came out of it, and he claimed a miracle on that. And again, it was my nature to rejoice in it, but also have a little bit of, I wonder about this, you know? And I'm just being as honest as I can. Yeah. And right now, I believe wholeheartedly that God can do anything that he puts his mind to. And all I need to do is trust in him. And am I ever going to figure it all out, why one person gets something and somebody else doesn't or whatever? Never in a million years. I just need to accept. I just need to accept that God's grace is on my wife, and that he healed her. And I'm going to accept that and go forward, and I'm going to tell people about it too. Thanks.
Well, I just want to thank all of you and to allow me to be a part of your journey. I do remember myself and the elders coming and praying over you. As the Bible says in James chapter 5, if you need healing, you call the elders, and we come and we pray in faith. And I know we gathered around you in the prayer room and prayed, and it's been amazing to see what the Lord has done. And thank you guys for sharing. I know getting up here sometimes can be scary in front of people, but I think for all of us to be together as a family and for you guys to share in that, I think is just amazing. And I know when you and I talked to Marianne, there might be some of you who have questions, and they're more than willing to talk to you, encourage you, you know, and just, this is what a family is. We go through things together. And I know some of you today are going through things. Some of you just told me before the service you lost a parent in the last few days. And I know there's a lot going on within our church family. And so I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray for all of you. I'm going to invite up Pastor John, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to close. So, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you are so good. And Lord Jesus, I am very grateful and thankful for what you have done in this family. Lord, give them boldness. Give them courage, Lord, as they share this story with others. Lord Jesus, we all have a bit of skepticism in us. We all have a bit of fear in us. We all have a certain sense of uncertainty. But Lord Jesus, we want to just rest and lean on you. And Lord, for the verses that Marianne shared of about strength and courage and you being there, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that people today would sense your presence through this family. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would continue to work in the lives of people here. And Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for those today who are hurting. Lord, I don't know all the issues. I just know what I've been told. But Lord Jesus, you know people's hearts. You know people's lives. And you know their situation. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would make yourself real to them. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. And Lord, maybe that's through this family today, that you seem real, Jesus, more than ever through them. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just impact hearts today. And Lord, we continue to pray as we move into 2018. And Lord, we don't know what our story will be in 2018. We don't know what will happen to us. We don't know our health. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going on. But Lord Jesus, I pray today that maybe some of us need to make things right with you, Lord. Maybe some of us today, we've had our eyes open to who is this Jesus? And why would he do this? What is he about? And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we sing and we worship and celebrate the beginning of a new year, Lord, we will sing that you reign and that you are great and you are powerful and you are wonderful. And Lord Jesus, we pray these things in your great and holy name. Amen. Thanks, guys.
To stand and worship together.